expectations. Ludwig used as the epigraph for his second book a line from the Austrian playwright Johann Nistroy. "The trouble about progress is that it always looks much greater than it really is." In one way, Wittgenstein did get something done. At his death, he left behind some 20,000 pages of writings. He had lectured over a period of 17 years in some 4 dozen classes. He had fought in a world war, and he had designed and built a large house in Vienna. But of those 20,000 pages, fewer than 100 were published in his lifetime. His students were few, and he fought on the losing side of a war that would largely destroy the culture in which he was raised. By all rights, he should have disappeared from history. Yet, Wittgenstein is widely considered to be the most important philosopher of the 20th century. The popular Leiter Reports philosophy blog did 3 polls in 2009. In answer to "Who is the most important philosopher of the past 200 years?", 600 respondents voted Wittgenstein number one. He easily beat out better-known names such as John Stuart Mill, Friedrich Nietzsche, and Karl Marx, as well as other 20th century competitors such as Martin Heidegger and Jean-Paul Sartre. In a poll selecting the 20 most important philosophers of the modern era, roughly the last 400 years, nearly 750 respondents voted him number 4, trailing only Immanuel Kant, David Hume, and René Descartes. And in a competition for the 20 most important philosophers of all time, nearly 900 respondents placed Wittgenstein in 7th place. He was beaten by Plato, Aristotle, and Socrates. Not bad company. But if you know little about Wittgenstein and his work, this book is your chance to learn more. There are 3 main reasons for the high regard in which Wittgenstein is held. Firstly, he emphasized the importance of language to philosophy. This attention to language was not altogether new, but it was sustained. At first, he took the language of science to be a model, but later he came to see the value of the wide range of uses of language from everyday life. His initial orientation toward scientific language influenced a movement called logical positivism, which took science as a model for philosophy. But his later appreciation of the wide range of uses of language influenced a reaction against logical positivism. It seemed that everyone could find in Wittgenstein's work something to like and something to dislike. Secondly, he maintained that philosophy is not a set of doctrines, but a method to help avoid confusions of thought. This view set him apart from his predecessors and contemporaries. While they were trying to create a philosophy, Wittgenstein was trying to do philosophy. In this respect, he was like Socrates, the ancient Greek philosopher. Some philosophers might see progress in the creation of a large theoretical system of thought. Wittgenstein sought progress only in curing confusions. It's progress, but not as great as it might seem. Lastly, he insisted on the importance of context for understanding. Philosophers may have the popular reputation of navel-gazing, as though we might figure out something just by thinking about it, and it alone hard enough. But Wittgenstein took a wider view. To him, words were part of sentences, sentences part of language, and languages part of communities. One of Wittgenstein's students recalled that it didn't matter what subject matter Wittgenstein discussed. What was important was the method he brought to bear on the subject, which was always the same. He always emphasized the importance of the context for understanding things. When we ignore the context, what remains is flawed. Wittgenstein's writings create a certain fascination among readers or would-be readers. The one book that he published in his lifetime, the Tractatus Logico-Philosophicus, was cryptic, oracular, and obscure. Thus, it seems profound even if it is not understood. A second book, The Philosophical Investigations, which was published shortly after his death, was more extensive and wide-ranging, but without a clear point.